Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Here we are, Friday, you and I together, and Friday together with our listeners.
And we have some listener questions. Our first one comes from Kathleen. Hi, Jim and Bob. Market Watch headline, recession, who cares? Deutsche Bank shares Goldman's bullish stocks view as banks split on downturn. This reminds me of the great Peggy Lee song, Is That All There Is?, in which she tells of watching her childhood home burn down and saying to her father, Is that all there is?
Yeah, so, listen, let's talk about that song, because I remember the title, but I never paid attention to the words. So with the question, I did look up the lyrics. Oh, it's bitter. I enjoyed the song, but I didn't tune in on the words.
Mm. Yeah, I'm bad at song lyrics, too. I'm good at making them up because I can't remember them, even when, I've written the song myself. Now, she goes on to say, so recessions, deficits, liquidity problems, and wacko economic policies don't matter, so who cares? So the markets, like life, always march forward. Bob, should we tune out the looming recession and join Peggy Lee in singing Break Out the Booze and Have a Ball? Is that all there is? Why worry about a silly recession as the Fed always provides plenty of booze? I would think that would be liquidity. Mm-hmm. To keep the party going, but somehow I feel the house this time is about to burn down to the ground and it's time to get out. Bob, should we say bull to recession fears or be running like bears to the fire exits?
God, Kathleen, I've got to get you to write some stuff for our publications. You're really good. Yeah, it is crazy out there, but then you have an intense belief at the peak of a great speculation that it's going to continue. And I'm just looking here, doing the research in 2007. And it was, there'd been a long series of interest rates going up. And then in that summer, the discussion became that, well, the Fed would cut. And then on September the 4th, the head guy at Harris Bank Trust thing said that there was no problem, don't worry, because here's what he said. Lowering interest rates will certainly help the stock market. There is no question about it. That was on September 4th, 2007, and interest rates had peaked earlier, like treasury bills, and were heading down. And that's the sign. But and we've done a couple of charts here, that interest rates go up in the boom and down in the bust. And you get the fastest drop in interest rates, like T-bills, at the worst parts of the stock market. And here's this guy who was, you know, high up in the business, and he's got this article of faith. So this is where we are. So our work just goes to, are there technical excesses? And we wrote about this a couple of months ago, and it would be nice to conclude this market up maybe around mid-year sometime, and with a good surge, a good speculative surge. Well, we're getting that. We're getting technical readings that are saying, hey, this is as good as it gets. So then the next question is, is how does it roll over? And the next question is, when are financial difficulties usually discovered? In the fall. So our theme for this year was the counter-trend rally in stocks would probably rally into mid-year and be okay for a while. Okay is not a very good return considering the risks. And then after August, this was all rolled over. And in the last week, the Treasury bill rate has come down a little. And not enough to write home about, but it looks like it could be changing. So, yeah, it's very popular. A rising market is very popular. And at the peak of a major cyclical bull market is when the public comes in. And from what I read in different articles, the public really is in. So I think that some problems will more than likely be discovered after August.
Now, Bob, being a very eagle-eyed person, you've seen the problems, possible problems with the market. I recall doing a 2007 interview with Garth Turner, the former revenue minister, and a guest on the show sometimes, and he told me Canada's already in recession except for Vancouver, high-tech, the Fraser Valley real estate in the Alberta oil patch. The rest of the country is already in the dumpster. My editor refused to run that interview because he said the stock market's at an all-time high. How could bad times be ahead? However, John Strait, my weekend editor, said, Jim, I'll take that interview. And
good
Garth
stuff.
Was right. So
yeah,
just because the stock market looks happy, you know, it's like the duck. Yeah. Looks very calm above the water and the feet are churning like crazy. Our second question from Michael is kind of also an editorial, so we'll wade into it a bit here. From Michael, hello, Jim and Bob. The CNN Fear Greed Index is again in the extreme greed zone. The German DAX reached new all-time highs, even though Germany has been in recession for two quarters. Industrial production is declining. The NASDAQ is skyrocketing, some pundits predicting new all-time highs in a matter of days. I thought that the markets are supposed to decline as the Fed reduces liquidity. The Fed maintains it can drain liquidity from the markets to reduce inflation, but they can't even drain the swamp in Washington. Despite the fact the Fed's raising rates, there still seems to be a lot of gambling liquidity out there. Bob, I'm confused. Where is the overdue crash that everyone has been talking about earlier in the year?
Yeah, well, crashes don't happen when everybody's talking about them. And as we've mentioned, the sentiment figures are very bullish. We've got the big surge in, you know, there's about six huge stocks out there that are really providing the leadership. And they've gone bonkers up the on the upside. And then even now on the NASDAQ 100, we're getting technical excesses on that. So we're getting, technical excesses at about the time that we thought the good times for this year would run into around mid-year, and we're getting that. So, but we want to emphasize that the yield curve has inverted. And I've got the charts on the yield curve in the U.S. back to 1857. And every inversion has been followed by a recession. And then there's an addition to that, is that if the action as the curve inverts in the credit markets gets intense, the more intense it is, the more severe the recession. And I've joked that, this is a three quarters intensity. Okay. So it's going to be, a severe, bear market and contraction once it all rolls over. Now, there's further on the question.
Finally, from Michael, a paranormal question, as he calls it. The more tyrannical Justin Trudeau gets, the more he resembles Fidel Castro. Do you think he has been possessed by the spirit of the late Castro?
Oh, there's irony in that one. And I think that is indeed the case. Anyways, from either figure, either Pierre Elliott Trudeau, or Castro, Trudeau Jr. is full authoritarian Marxist, and the World Economic Forum has got him as a puppet in Ottawa. And if you watch the House during question period, Poilievre is very effective as the opposition leader in bearing down on the hardships ordinary Canadians are suffering with soaring costs and groceries and rents and all that sort of stuff. And then Trudeau goes and is out to yet again raise the carbon tax in the face of rising costs. So he's not acting on behalf of the Canadian electorate. He is there as a puppet of the World Economic Forum, and an acquaintance of mine for now 35 years, David Morrison, has been a civil servant, but as part of his career, he was a director of the World Economic Forum in Geneva some years ago, and for the last 5 years or so, he has been a special advisor in the Prime Minister's office, advising the Prime Minister, and this is why you get the constant global warming stuff out of Trudeau, when the Parliament should be looking after the various distresses that society are suffering now. So, yeah, there's some very bad stuff going on with Trudeau in Ottawa.
Well, it doesn't matter how much Canada does about carbon. We only produce 2% or less of the world greenhouse gases. So even if Canada shut down totally, all the carbon taxes in the world aren't going to affect anything globally.
Nope.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah. So let's take a look. Also, farmers are asking to be exempted from the carbon tax because they're trying to keep the cost of food down.
Oh, then Trudeau also from the WEF goes on about nitrogen. Now, for 1,000 years, farmers have known that you have to refresh the soil in agriculture, and this is why 1,000 years ago they went into crop rotation, where they would grow clover or legumes or something, and then alternate. They didn't understand nitrogen then. But what that was to replace the nitrogen in the soil. And this is what farmers do each season with their various treatments of the soil. And they're very thrifty with the applications of the various forms of nitrogen because this stuff is expensive and farming is expensive. So they're good at keeping their costs in line. But it's another one for Trudeau acting on behalf of the World Economic Forum to shut things down. Just, you know, they're insane. Absolutely insane.
We'll take a look at some important headlines when we continue with Bob Hoy.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Some of the headlines that caught your attention. U.S. consumers facing a crushing debt problem. I think that applies in Canada as well.
Oh, it does indeed. Yep. Yep.
Well, what does that tell us about what's happening with the economy? You got to use your credit card to buy groceries, essentials?
Typical squeeze at the end of a big boom.
San Francisco Mall turned over to lender as downtown struggles. There have been two office towers where the owners just walked away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and this one is worth dwelling on because, well, I think it was 2006, Jim Grant, the Grant's interest rate advisor, did a study on real estate in Manhattan in the Excelsior Life Building, and once, following 1929, and once the boom is over and you go into the long contraction, the equity holders go broke, And the mortgage lenders at the time go broke as well. And it went on until the 1950s. So it's unavoidable, and it'll be lengthy.
From the Financial Times, U.S. junk loan defaults surge as higher interest rates start to bite.
Yep, that's another classic, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
And what's the story there, Bob?
Well, interest rates go up and the costs go up, and then they can't cover their debt. And then later on, the credit rating agencies get interested in these things and start doing downgrades. It happens.
From the Wall Street Journal headline, renters are about to get the upper hand.
Yeah, the actual people renting may run into better deals as the landlords have an excess supply.
And also, they might be desperate to get any kind of cash flow at all.
Oh, yeah. That's part of the thing. Yeah, yeah.
European Central Bank urges banks in Russia to leave quickly.
Yeah. That's an interesting one, all right. Get your operations out of Russia. I would agree.
Alarm bells ring as local investors cool on South Africa's debt.
Yep, it's everywhere, isn't it? Now let's do the top one.
Yes, and that one caught my eye because I have a cup of chocolate after I go swimming. Chocolate is about to get more expensive as cocoa prices soar to 7-year highs.
No, there you go. When you're in a boom, eventually every commodity will get bid up to where it starts to choke off consumption. And then, of course, the rising price prompts an expansion of production and supply. And then it's all over. So, yeah, we've had headlines like that last November on lithium. You remember lithium? And last summer, there was going to be shortages of everything for everywhere. And then prices came down. So it's been a fascinating time.
Bob, a great chat, and we'll chat with you in a week.
Next week, for sure, Jim, and have a good weekend yourself.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have any questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. Find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.